For more than a decade, Saturdays and Illegal Curve have been synonymous with one another, with insight, analysis, and interviews regarding the Winnipeg Jets, the Manitoba Moose, and all around the NHL. Here are Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now.
Saturday morning, June the 18th. Do you know where your head coach is? Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning on YouTube and all of our social media platforms, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show with Dave Minuk, with Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about the Winnipeg Jets, here to talk about the Jets coaching search, here to talk about coaching throughout the NHL and the Stanley Cup Finals. Oh, wait, they're also going on, almost a bit of an afterthought. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Gentlemen, good to see you both on this Saturday morning. Dave M. rocking the new Betway gear, courtesy of our friends at Betway. Going to pick that up for you later on today. Nice to see you, gentlemen, on this Saturday morning.
Yeah, I love that fresh hoodie. Thanks to our good friends at Betway. I don't have mine on right now. I'm rocking my IC shirt, but yeah, we've got some fresh gear from them. And I can tell you guys, I'm about half an hour outside of the beautiful town of Lac Da Bonnie. If you're familiar with Nopaming Provincial Park, we're about a 10-minute drive from Nopaming. And yes, yeah, someone is doing well. I can tell you that...
not you!
I can tell you that, guys, Barry Trotz is not out here, and I have no new information aside from our friends at Uptown Alley offering Barry Trotz free bowling for life to go with his free beer from Little Brown Jug and his free gas and his free free range eggs. You know, he's got a lot of stuff. I think there was something else I'm missing in there. Farmer sausage. Don't forget about that farmer sausage. But yeah, there's nothing.
Oil changes and like the list goes on and on and on. I honestly, as you it's funny because I was thinking about it and I was just like, I was just reading some comments and you read in different spots. And I think to myself, like, this guy has it made. I mean, who cares if he's going to get $6 million or whatever the contract is going to look like? I mean, he doesn't need it because he's never going to touch it. He can just invest that money because he's never going to actually need a nickel because he's got everything covered. As you added to the list, bowling from Uptown Lanes, alleys. So, I mean, it is pretty funny that the number of things that Manitobans, some people are upset with it. I was just thinking it was a fun shtick that people were having. Some folks were looking for some free advertising, you know, but I just thought it was like, it was all in good fun. I didn't think there was anything harmful with it. So I thought,
Dave, we got Bailey Weeb here that's saying that he or she will shovel Barry's yard and driveway. Look at Manitobans are taking care of Barry Trotz. That's what it's all about. Whether Barry ends up signing here and becoming the next head coach of the Jets, you know, Manitobans are stepping up for Barry.
Well, Ezzy, just so you know, I'm also attempting to get Manitobans to step up for IC. So whenever people are offering their services, I'm saying, like, you know, we're not adverse to helping. So I don't want to get his handle wrong because he's a pretty big YouTuber or Instagrammer, but let's go to him. His handle, the Samurai Guitarist, who is a big Jets fan. He's also very big on YouTube and Instagram. And he offered free guitar lessons. I said, well, what about for Illegal Curve? There was a lady who offered free haircuts to Barry Trotz, even though she said he doesn't have any hair. I go, well, two of the three of us have hair on Illegal Curve, so maybe you could offer some free cuts there. So we had a plumber and electrician. Now, thankfully,
You need a plumber and electrician.
I was going to say, thankfully, my 95-year-old grandfather, he still does my electrical, but and you know, when he decides to retire, I could always ask for that. So I was trying to get Illegal Curve some stuff as well, in addition to Barry Trotz.
I like that. Well, I know, Dave, that Drew was very jealous about the free farmer sausage. I saw that when that came out, Drew was, you know, trying to get himself involved in that. So I'm sorry, Drew, you're going to have to be, you know, the third winningest head coach in NHL history to get that.
You know what? Times are tough in the Mandela household with gas prices and inflation, but I'll see if I can scrap some pennies together or some nickels together to get my own farmer sausage as opposed to getting it.
You're still driving a car? I'm driving a rickshaw.
Yes, that's the alternative as well. Anyways, gentlemen, it is, I mean, it's getting to be beyond silly season at this point in time as it pertains to the coaching search. And there was optimism, I would suggest, you know, maybe Thursday, if I recall correctly. That's when our friends Paul Friesen and Mike McIntyre and Murat Ateş, they all came out with articles saying that they thought that it was going to maybe come to a fruition, that it was going to be some
things were heating up.
things were heating up. Exactly right. That Barry Trotz, I believe it was Mike and Paul and Murat, as I mentioned, said that the Jets and Barry Trotz were going to have supplemental meetings this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, or early next week. They were going to get back together, see if a deal could be formulated. And people in Winnipeg were happy, and they were rejoicing, and they were counting their Stanley Cups. But lo and behold, tap the brakes a little bit. Pierre LeBrun in The Athletic, in an article yesterday, as well as on TSN's Insider Trading, saying it's not happening that soon. It's not necessarily happening in the next couple days. He's saying that July 1st is more of a timeline for when Barry Trotz is going to make his decision, whatever his decision will be. And then Darren Dreger, yesterday, appearing on The Instigators in Buffalo, our friend Marty Biron, typically on that show, Darren Dreger, and I'll play the video in a couple minutes, coming out and really pouring, I'd say, even more cold water on the Barry Trotz to Winnipeg scenario, including taking what I would describe as an unnecessary shot at Winnipeg media in the course of his comments. Looks like Darren might be a little bit upset about something, but it's a fascinating look at how the sausage is being made as it pertains to Barry Trotz and the reporting and the decision-making where it comes to the Jets' next head coach.
Yeah, well, like, I'll start off here, but first off, before I you know, ramble on here, got to give a huge props to Dave M for updating, you know, our readers and fans of IC and the Jets, because, I mean, there was a lot of news coming out. It wasn't necessarily the news, as you mentioned, Drew, that Jets fans wanted to hear when it comes to what Darren Dreger said and what Pierre LeBrun wrote about and said, right? But, you know, hats off to you, Dave M, because you've been pumping out a lot of Trotz Watch related content, right? So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned, Drew, we're going to play Dreger's comments. I don't necessarily know that he was taking a shot at the Winnipeg media, but look, it goes back to what we've been talking about, guys, for what, 3 or 4 weeks now. Like, Barry Trotz is taking his time. And I think that we all kind of agreed that it was going to be right around kind of in towards the end of June that we were expecting a decision, right? And it looks like, you know, it might trickle into late June, early July. But I think what was the most interesting about what Dreg said is, you know, if you really kind of read between the lines or hear between the lines, because it was obviously a video, I mean, it sounds like, you know, it's not just, you know, Winnipeg or Nashville. It seems like Florida. And you don't hear Dreg's use the word bizarre. Like, that's a Drew Mandel-ism, you know, when you're talking about. And I think Florida, guys, is really kind of thrown a wrinkle into this, because after Vegas, you know, we kind of thought, okay, Winnipeg's the front runner. I don't think anybody really thought, you know, that Dallas or Philadelphia was really a serious contender, right? Dallas hasn't announced their head coach, but I mean, all signs are pointing to it's probably going to be Pete DeBoer, right? We know it's not going to be Jim Montgomery, right? So, I mean, right now it seems like it's kind of in between Winnipeg and maybe Nashville, but then you throw in Florida guys like Andrew Burnett, as Dreg's mentioned in the piece. I mean, he's a Jack Adams finalist, and they're interviewing everybody, including Trotz, right? So it seems like right now, even though Winnipeg is in the mix, it doesn't necessarily seem like, you know, a decision from Barry Trotz is imminent. It's probably going to be another couple weeks.
Yeah, the whole situation at this point to me, Dave, is weird. And I've seen, I think it was our buddy Jeff Hamilton who tweeted it, and I think there's probably some credence to it. You know, does Barry Trotz actually want to coach this coming season? Because at this point in time, I would suggest you know what everybody has to offer. You know what the Jets are offering. You know what Florida would have to offer. You know what Detroit would have to offer. You know about all the different availabilities and options you have. There's not going to be, you know, something else coming out of, you know, complete, you know, left field that you don't expect at this point. I'm not sure that he's not conflicted whether or not he really wants to coach. And I can understand that completely. I mean, he's got more money than he's going to need. It's not a money issue. Do you want to get right back into the grind, or does it maybe appeal to you to take a year off or take 2 years off and just sort of lay back, enjoy the fruits of your labors that you've been laboring over for the last, you know, almost two decades, and maybe then decide what you want to do? I mean, I think that he is, and I don't know Barry Trotz at all, I think he's probably a little conflicted where he wants to coach and if he wants to coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly one of the things you have to think, Drew. Otherwise, he, you know, you're right. Everything's been laid out pretty nicely for him at this point. You know, the idea that he's having additional meetings, and it wasn't clear based on all the different talk. Like, we know he was meeting with Winnipeg this weekend based on what Mike reported. But Dreger last night said, you know, the plan was to meet with Winnipeg next week. Now, I don't know when that segment on the Insider Trading was recorded, but you'd have to believe it was probably Wednesday. I mean, sorry, it was probably Thursday or Friday, likely Friday. But so maybe he meant there was going to be a follow-up conversation. And the reality is, look, unlike in the Philadelphia's case where he told them an outright no, that's clearly not what's happening here in Winnipeg, which is why Friedman said, you know, there's Winnipeg still has that shot, and it wasn't a done deal that he wasn't interested in coming here. You know, to me, the one thing that you know we have to think about is what exactly is this management role that he's seeking, right? Because you don't see it very often. You don't see, it's not like there's been like a whole glut of coaches who've gone on to become general managers.
No,
you know, like
not many coaches could demand that, right? Like, well, you have to be of Trotz's stature, right, Dave, to even be asking that type of demand
for sure
from a team, right? Like, it's just, as you said, it's not common,
right? And it's not like let's be realistic, even if he was saying I want to have a management role, it's not like they're going to make him GM in 3 years when he's done as a coach. Like, he has to learn that side of the business. He spent the last, you know, 25 years being a coach in, you know, in various leagues of various, you know, levels of hockey, obviously, and so that's been his focus. He doesn't have that business side of the, you know, the game the way he does. I'm not saying he's not been around the game long enough to have some certain understandings. It's just not a traditional thing you see. And it's actually, to be honest with you, it's a rather specific ask that I get a coach with his pedigree can request. But even then, how often do you ever see a coach basically saying, I want to be unfireable for the next three seasons, regardless of how my team does, because I'm seeking this path into the next level of the game with your organization in 3 years time or 4 years time or 2 years time, whatever that time frame is. So it is an incredibly unusual situation. It's an incredibly unusual request from a head coach, because like I said, it's essentially saying, and obviously he can be fired, he'll still get paid, but it's essentially saying, like, I want to, like, regardless of results, I want to have a path into your organization into the next level. So I think it requires a lot of thinking on his part, because like I said, he's got to figure out how it's going to look with this organization, whether it's the Jets, whether it's the Panthers, whether it's Detroit and or Boston even, because of course they've got the head coaching vacancy. So the whole situation is bizarre. I mean, if it's a Drew word, it's fine, because it is. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of consensus. You're right. And Ezzy's right. I've been documenting it on the website. And one moment you'll have a guy say, well, it's going to be this. And another next moment. And some people are getting so fed up, you know, with hearing it. And like I said, we just report what they're saying. Right. But
you, and sorry, Dave, like, just to jump in here, like, you know, I agree with Drew. I think not only are there a bunch of teams that need to fill their head coaching vacancy, but Trotz clearly wants to get into a management role. So, I mean, Nashville has really, I mean, it was so funny earlier this week when Trotz bought a home in Nashville, and then Drew tweeted out that he probably bought it, you know, to rent out for bachelor and bachelorette parties, right? Because of course, you know, Nashville is known for having a lot of parties there. We went for Richie P's bachelor party back in 2019, right?
You can make a pretty penny doing Airbnb for bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Yeah, you guys will, you know, back me up here. Anybody that's been to Nashville, it's one of the best cities in the U.S. A lot of good cities. Nashville is right up there. So, I mean, just because he bought a house, I mean, that could have been an investment property for his kids, whatever. I mean, but then you hear, you know, from Elliot Friedman and Darren Dreger, and you mentioned Pierre LeBrun. I mean, that a management role, we know, guys, he's super tight with David Poile, right? But to Dave's point, we're not really clear, like, is he going to be an assistant general manager? Is it kind of a president of hockey ops situation? Like, we don't know if the management role is only on the table with Nashville and Winnipeg, because it seems like Winnipeg is prepared to offer him a management role. We just don't really know what that means. Like, what is that? And then the other thing, back to what I said, is that there are so many teams right now that have head coaching vacancies. Like, we didn't really even know if Florida was in the mix, because we were told Florida wasn't in the mix. And then is Boston really in the mix? We're not really sure.
It's conflicting reports with regard to Florida. You have You know, at first, I believe earlier yesterday, or it might have even been Thursday, Dave, you know, Elliot Friedman says that, you know, that he, that people were saying Florida, but his reporting said it wasn't Florida. And then you got Dreger saying something different. And then you got Lord Brun saying something different an hour after Dreger says something different. I don't know. The insiders on this one, and I use that, you know, and I'm putting that in quotes, you know, at first it was Elliot and Jeff Merrick who were sort of leading the charge as it pertained to Barry Trotz. And generally speaking, if they're the ones sort of leading the charge, you think that they're the most tied into it. I'm curious where Dreger and LeBrun are sort of coming out of left field yesterday with their reporting, where they're getting that from. You know,
are it's kind of refreshing, Drew, to be honest with you. Like, you know, we've been doing this show for over 13 years. And when the insiders don't even have consensus, and Dreger's kind of saying, like, I don't know when Trotz is going to make his decision. I don't know what his management role could possibly be. It's a little bit refreshing, if you ask me, because not refreshing necessarily for Jets fans, but again, refreshing because it makes us feel a little bit more human, right?
I always remind the folks, I remind everyone I talk to, that all these guys that are getting fed information, and remember, that's all they're doing. They're being fed information by varying sources and varying teams. Whoever's giving them info might have ulterior motives other than the full truth. So perhaps Trotz was close to making a decision, and then somebody from Florida whispers in Dreger's ear to pour some cold water on it. That certainly happens. It happens all the time. So everything you hear, very much so, take it with a grain of salt, because it's not always about getting the absolute truth out there. It's about getting, for a lot of these guys, it's about reporting whatever they're being fed by their sources who have ulterior motives involved.
Yeah, so absolutely. And you're right, Drew. And also, I mean, you guys know this. I mean, yeah, we've met Barry Trotz a few times, you know, after games and stuff like that, but nobody has kind of an inside beat on this. Like Robert Palmer, you know, a loyal IC fan, was saying that the insiders are looking like the outsiders. Barry Trotz keeps his cards close to his chest, just like Chevy does. And nobody really knows right now, right? Like everyone's kind of trying to figure out like where Barry Trotz is kind of leaning towards, right? But nobody knows. So, you know, Jets fans are going to have to remain patient, and, you know, everyone in the hockey world is going to have to remain patient, because it looks like Barry Trotz is going to take... Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Let's talk about that patience. When does your patience run out? I mean, it's June 18th.
I don't care. I mean, Barry can take as long as he wants. Yeah. I mean, for us, I mean, we'd like him to make his decision today.
Yeah, in the next,
that would help us.
If he would make his decision in the next 10 minutes, that'd be great. We'd really appreciate that, Barry. But if that's not about to happen, if you're the Jets, and we've talked about this, Dave, for the last number of weeks, you're 2 weeks out from the draft. We all know that coaches do not really do much at the draft. We've been at drafts where we've interviewed, I think we interviewed Paul Maurice a number of years ago, and we said, you know, how's the weekend going for you? And he sort of just chuckles along because he's there more as wallpaper than he is as an active participant. You know, but so if you're the Jets though, and if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff and you're Mark Chipman, do you have a deadline for when you want an, do you begin to apply pressure to get a decision one way or the other?
No, go ahead, Dave, but I really don't think that's the case.
Well, I mean, first of all, I can only answer as Dave Manuk, and Dave Manuk doesn't mind. Dave Manuk doesn't mind having content for another 2 weeks, so thank you, Barry. I appreciate it. Let's keep illegalcurve.com pumping, because it would be rather slow on the website without
all this great content. That's not going to be that slow, Dave. We got a PLD contract coming up, too. So.
Well, I don't know about that. I would suspect that's probably later in the summer. But anyways, the point is that, look, I don't know that, Trini KP said, you know, you want to have it in place by the draft. I don't know that you need that, just because you don't have to worry. Like, the coach doesn't do, as you said, Drew, the coach isn't going to do anything for this. Now, just to quickly circle back to what you were saying about the Dreger and where he's getting it. Sometimes you wonder, is he saying this to soften the blow? Because, again, everybody in Manitoba is laser focused on Barry Trotz. Murat wrote a good article yesterday in The Athletic talking about Barry Trotz versus Jim Montgomery. Jim Montgomery, again, still a very good coach, still would probably work very well with this Jet system. But right now he is, like, by most folks, he is not the one that everybody is keyed in on, right? Everybody is focused in on Barry Trotz. So now to get back to your answer though, I will say, like, no, I don't think that there is I suspect, like I said, the other thing, the reason why the Jets may be releasing information is to try and maybe hurry things up, because the July 1st date, that was the first time we had heard anything. Now, I didn't think necessarily, aside from all the messages I get on Instagram and Twitter about it's happening this time,
I saw Barry in line at Junior's. No, I saw him at BJ's.
Look, people may have
seen I thought those Swift Current guys at the gas station were onto something.
That's Rod Peterson's on Rod Peterson's show. Yeah.
Yeah. So, chaos. I mean, like, I don't necessarily think that I was expecting him to announce anything. I just thought it was going to be another kind of heavy duty meeting with the organization, see what's going on. I didn't think that it was going to necessarily happen right away, but the July 1st date that Pierre LeBrun was the first to drop yesterday, that was new. That was new information. And again, you're right, Drew, that adds 2 weeks to the decision-making process. So, I mean, it is a bit of a difficulty, but for me, if you're the Winnipeg Jets, as long as like July, I mean, remember the draft is until July 7th, right? July 7th and 8th. Free agency is until July 13th. Yeah. You need to have a coach in place. Now ideally you'd have a coach in place before the draft because you're going to need to know what this organization's direction is, right? Because the draft is where these GMs start to get. I mean, someone just said, I didn't see, Darwin Moore said, is this a coaching carousel or a soap opera? Well, look, let's be realistic. These GMs gab like they're in high school. And when you put 32 of them in the same room together, lots of conversations are happening. Lots of chatter is happening. And as we've seen in the past, lots happens at the draft.
By the way, you know, just going back to Darwin, would this be called Barry and the Restless?
This is also the first time they're all together for a draft in a number of years. So the high school gossip club will be in full throttle.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. So that's why I'm saying you need to have someone in place ahead of the draft, not because the coach does anything, but I think it's because you want to know from an organizational standpoint, you want to have had that coach had a conversation with Mark Scheifele and found out what exactly is his mindset. That's what you need to do. So realistically, July 1st actually does give the Jets plenty of time, I think, because let's say Barry Trotz agrees to become the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets on July 1st. Well, that gives him specifically time to reach out to Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, Josh Morrissey, Adam Lowry, the whole gamut of the leadership group of the Winnipeg Jets organization. Talk to those guys, get an idea where their head's at, go back to Kevin Cheveldayoff, talk about their approach, and then they can formulate a plan with, you know, a couple days to go ahead of the draft. So the July 1st date isn't a killer for the Jets. I don't think it really will impact their play. Obviously, they prefer to have him in place now and have everything ready to go.
And that's not going to happen, right, Dave? So you're right. I mean, like, July 1st to me is actually fine. Like, if Pierre LeBrun said August 1st, then I think, you know, by the way, which is my dad's 71st birthday. So happy early birthday, Dad. And happy early Father's Day, by the way, to all the fathers out there, including me and Drew.
Yes. Dave's a father to illegalcurve.com. It counts.
It's true. Well, Dave is a great uncle. He and a good friend and just an overall good guy. So yes, happy.
I'm not a great uncle, actually. I forgot. Usually I call my niece on her birthday at midnight and I didn't call her last night. So my apology, Riley, it's her birthday. So happy birthday to my niece, Riley.
She was probably out at the clubs also. Isn't Riley old enough to be out at the clubs now?
She may be, but she's not.
Riley's studying. What are you talking about? She doesn't go to the clubs. Come on.
Riley's studying only if she takes after her mother and not her father. That's for sure.
No. She's studying for her LSAT. She's going to get that. She's going to get that out of the way nice and early, Drew. You know that. Just like her dad. So right now, I think, you know, going back to what you said, Dave, about the draft. I mean, yes, the amateur scouting staff is who handles the draft, and the general manager also has some input. Management has some input here, but I think it comes down to there are a lot of Jets fans that are losing patience, as Drew mentioned. But I mean, this isn't your average coach here, right? And I think everyone knows that. Barry Trotz, I've said this before, I think you can make an argument, you know, like he's the second or third best coach of all time. Like, not just the wins, like it's the Stanley Cup, it's the, you know, what he did with that Nashville team year after year. You know, he's just had such an impact on the game. He's one of the best coaches of all time. So I think the Jets are going to wait. If it takes another week, if it takes another 2 weeks, if it takes another, you know, 3 weeks, fine. I don't think that we're going to be sitting. I said this a couple weeks ago. Like, I don't think we're going to be sitting around here in, you know, late July, early August, mid-August. And Barry is still, I mean, Barry Trotz knows that teams want to have their coach in place as soon as possible, right? So again, Jets fans are just going to have to be a little bit patient. And hopefully, you know, all that free stuff that's been offered is going to lure Barry back to Winnipeg.
You know, if I'm the Jets organization, I mean, you're still obviously all in on Trotz. You want him to be your head coach. But in the back of your mind, I think you have to, at this point in time, be a little bit concerned. Does he have the requisite passion that he wants to do this job? Because this job is a hard job. This job is a grind. The season is a grind. You're walking into a situation here in Winnipeg where you have a team that is, I don't care what anyone really says, I mean, that's a team that's in upheaval. That's a team that needs a lot of attention to get back to where they want to be. You know, that's a team, you know, it's not an easy situation. Never mind the pressure that you're walking into because everybody thinks you're going to be the solution to a team that has been on a downward trajectory for the last number of years. Do you have the passion that you want to take on that challenge right now? Or do you want to take on the challenge of a Florida Panthers team, which is a much more, I'd say, appealing situation to walk into? First of all, you're in Florida, which, I mean, look, I raised my family here. I love Winnipeg. It's a lot easier of a life in South Florida than it is in Winnipeg, particularly as a head coach. And you're going to a team that was one of the best teams in the entire NHL last year that, you know, wasn't able to
choked in the playoffs.
Well, but they choked against a team that very well could win the Stanley Cup in the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I'm just saying, I mean, President's Trophy is not the Stanley Cup.
Of course it's not. But, you know, if you're Barry Trotz, would you rather teach a team how to win in the playoffs, or would you rather have to teach a team to almost have to rebuild the culture of a dressing room just to get back into the playoffs?
Yeah,
and those are the two scenarios that he's really faced with.
You're raising really good questions. That's why you're the host of IC and not me, Drew. But we can't really get into what you're basically asking is to get into Barry's head, right? And we can't do that. You're absolutely right. I mean, look, Manitoba, Dave is the best ambassador to this province I think we have. I think we all love living here. I mean, look at, we have some of the, like the summer is, there's so much, you know, natural beauty, not just in the summer, but in the summer you get to experience it instead of, you know, hermiting in your house when it's minus 40, right? But you can't compete with Florida. Manitoba's never going to be able to compete with Vegas or California or anything like that. So to me, you're right. I can't rebut that, right? But look, at Barry wouldn't be, I don't think he would be interviewing, especially for a second time with the Jets, unless he was serious about joining the organization. Like, yes, you know, could Barry be leaning towards a management role with Nashville? That's possible. But he interviewed with Philadelphia. He interviewed with Vegas. He interviewed with, who am I missing here? Florida. Right. So I don't think he would be interviewing with all these teams for Detroit for their head coaching job. Right, Drew, if he wasn't serious. So, again, like goes back to what we said earlier about Elliot Friedman, Darren Dreger, Pierre LeBrun, the insiders. I mean, and we got to give, you know, shout out to Mike McIntyre, Scotty Billick, Paul Friesen. Like the local media has been digging, you know, to figure out what's going on here. But really, like, again, it's you know, I sound like a broken.
That's why I thought. Sorry, Ezzy. Let me.
We're gonna have to wait. We're gonna have to wait another week.
I thought that's why Dreger's comment was bullshit yesterday to take a shot at the Winnipeg media. You know, as if
they wanted it.
Yeah, as if, you know, he makes it out like Winnipeg, like the Winnipeg media are the cheerleaders for this, as if they're not actually doing reporting, as a, you know, which they are doing. So for Dreger to say that, when Dreger, you know, look, Dreger's reporting credibility is nothing that he should be raising up on a flagpole. Hi there, Chris Beach. You know, so, you know, Dreger in that sense, well, that was a bullshit comment. And and the guys in Winnipeg, and I'm not necessarily including us in this, but Mike and Scott and Paul and Ken and everybody else deserve better than getting that from Darren Dreger there, because that was a bullshit comment on his part.
Yeah, fair enough, Drew. I think, you know, everybody's looking for a glimmer of hope. Like, we're supposed to be biased because, you know, we do the hockey show and we're in the media. I mean, it's a little bit different. We're not in the, whatever you want to call it, legacy media, but we're in the media. So we're not supposed to be biased. I think I said biased. I meant unbiased towards, you know, the Jets and everything like that. But I think, you know, we're looking for a glimmer of hope here. And let's be honest, when Vegas hired Bruce Cassidy and the Flyers hired John Tortorella, guys, I mean, I can go back to my, you know, LSAT comment. Process of elimination tells you that the Jets are, you know, right at the top, right? It's like, it's the Jets, it's the Panthers, and it's the Predators right now, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think Boston is realistic. And we talked about Dallas. Looks like, you know, it's going to be Pete DeBoer in Dallas. So there's three teams right now in on Barry Trotz. And I think, yeah, the media might be looking for a bit of a glimmer of hope here to give some optimism to Jets fans. But That's because when you have a head coach who has won a Stanley Cup and has won two Jack Adams trophies, and all Jets fans are clamoring him because they want hope. They want, it was a terrible year, and the Jets fans are looking for hope. I think, you know, the Winnipeg media has done a great job, and I don't think they're biased at all.
I thought it was a lousy comment, and people deserve better than that. Let's take our first break. When we come back, more on the Jets, more on the coaching search. We'll see what's up next. Kenny Wiebe at the top of hour number two. Stay with us. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live on our YouTube channel. We're live on all of our social media platforms. This segment of the show, Dave M. seems to have changed. We'll get to that. This segment of the show brought to you by our friends at Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront and also supplements Dave M's wardrobe, apparently. With a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Dave M. got hooked up with some swag, folks. That's why he's sporting a bunch of different Betway gear as we go segment by segment. Is that right, Dave M.?
That is correct. This is the Betway jersey they sent. It's actually a pretty nice little jersey. You know, I mean, people might think I'm wearing a Dallas Stars uniform, but
for a second I was wondering why you were wearing a Stars jersey. You know, I thought maybe this is like an NWO situation where you rip off your Illegal Curve t-shirt to announce that you're joining the Dallas Stars organization or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, in that case,
I'm going with Pete DeBoer. I'm going to go join Dallas.
Dave really has always been the Kevin Nash of Illegal Curve, right? So
exactly. Anyways, big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and, of course, the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Drew, you would be Hollywood Hogan.
Thank you, Ezzy. I am Mr. Hollywood. That's very true. Actually, and Helk and I truly had the same hairline. The only difference is I just agreed to mine and shaved it off, whereas he kept the skullet going like Al Iafrady back in the 1980s, if you wish. How's that for a reference?
Just make sure that you eat your vitamins.
Say my prayers, eat my vitamins, and the 24-inch pythons, which are pumped full of steroids. I got it. Don't worry. Obviously, the coaching news is the big news of the week, and there was coaching decisions made in Philly and in Vegas that obviously have an impact here on Winnipeg. So let's talk briefly about that. Tortorella goes to Philadelphia. Our buddy Anthony Sanfilippo of CrossingBroad.com was all over that story. And then Bruce Cassidy, quickly after getting fired from Boston, lands softly in Vegas as the new head coach of the Golden Knights. Let's start with Tortorella. What are your thoughts on him going to Philly in that situation? And, you know, and really Barry Trotz, I guess, saying to Philly, no, I'm not interested in going to your organization.
Yeah, probably the biggest tidbit, and Dave broke this on Twitter. Well, Anthony broke it, but I guess Dave broke it for Jets fans. The $7 million offer was surprising. That's a lot of money. And we know that Barry Trotz is going to be up there, right? Like, we know that he's not going to be kind of a middle of the pack when it comes to salary. When you've won that many games and you've got that resume, you know, that wasn't as surprising. As far as Torts goes, Drew, I mean, look at, you can love Torts or you can hate him. And you guys know that I love him, even though, you know, we had our little thing back in the day when he was the coach of the Rangers. I was actually looking for that on YouTube, but whoever posted that on YouTube took it off. But and Matty Leibel, we got to give him a shout out too. When the fans were giving Torts a hard time back in the day, that was like back in 2014 or 15. But look at Torts is a great hockey coach. You can say whatever you want about Torts. Every team that he's gone to, you know, he has most of his teams make the playoffs. Now, does he run into, you know, some disagreements with players? Don't know if you guys saw Brandon Dubinsky's tweet.
I did.
Brandon Dubinsky obviously isn't a big fan of his. Pierre-Luc Dubois is another player that isn't a big fan of Torts, but PLD doesn't have to worry about Torts coming to Winnipeg. But I think, you know, it's also funny that, you know, it seems like Torts always follows Vigneault, right? He followed Vigneault in Vancouver. I'm not sure if he followed, if it was Torts was there before Vigneault in New York, but it's always funny that teams seem to like hiring both Vigneault and Tortorella, right? So, I mean, I just don't think, you know, Philadelphia's team is very good, to be honest with you. So I think Torts is going to a team that, you know, he'll probably, you know, he probably will get them, you know, five or so more wins. I just think, like, right now there's too many question marks on that team, right? Starting with Carter Hart in net. Like, Carter Hart is one of the most talented young goalies in the NHL, Dave, but I mean, he's had a bad couple of years, actually. I think, you know, Tortorella makes a lot of sense because he's a veteran coach, and that's what a young team like Philadelphia got a lot of good young players, right? Like Morgan Frost, Travis Konechny. Even Ivan Provorov is 25 now, but Carter Hart's still young, right? So it's a younger team, right? Like, the Claude Giroux era is over. So, I mean, Torts is going to have to squeeze as much as he can out of that team. I just don't think, especially in that Metro division, Dave, don't think Philadelphia stands a chance at making the playoffs. So probably because I said that, Philadelphia is going to finish first in the Metro division. But no, but honestly, guys, like, it just makes a lot of sense. Like, Torts is a good guy to bring in there to kind of steady the ship. And Cassidy makes a ton of sense in Vegas. So, I mean,
let's get Dave in on that then. Dave, what do you think about Cassidy and you know, in Vegas, and then the ripple effect that has throughout? Because I think a lot of people thought that Trotz, if he wasn't going to be in Winnipeg, I mean, for the longest time, you know, Florida wasn't really discussed at all because everyone thought that Andrew Brunette, Jack Adams runner-up, would get that job on a full-time basis. So when Cassidy ended up in Vegas so quickly and Trotz didn't end up there, that's why people immediately were sort of jumping to conclusions that it meant Trotz was a shoe-in here for Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Cassidy thing happened quickly, right? I think Vegas saw an opportunity for a very good head coach, one who has had a lot of success in Boston. And Vegas looks at the roster and says, this guy can put us in a position to win. And so I think that they jumped at the opportunity. And, you know, with Vegas, you don't necessarily have that same sort of opportunity that you might have with the Winnipeg Jets organization, the one in which Barry Trotz is seeking some sort of opportunity, stability, the opportunity to move into management. And I suspect, like I said, with Vegas, that's just not there. They don't run that organization in that same way. So, like, I think they are in a win now organization. When you look at who they've got, look at their salary cap, look at the players. I think Cassidy is going to do an excellent job in Vegas. I mean, obviously they've got some goaltending issues to figure out, but you know, if they can, I mean, that's a pretty big matzo ball for a good coach. And so a lot of people who followed Bruce Cassidy's career think he's going to do very well in Vegas. And it seemed like, based on what Friedman and Merrick were talking about on whether it was 32 Thoughts podcast or the Jeff Merrick show, they, you know, to your point, guys, earlier, they blend in all these chats these guys are having. I'm like, I don't know what I'm writing about. Is it 32 Thoughts? Is it this one? I'm like, whatever. It's all transcribed. So regardless of which show it was, like, it didn't sound like Vegas and Barry Trotz got all that significantly close together. And so, you know, and the situation with Florida, very bizarre, because you're right. On one hand, you say that you hear the insiders on TSN say, oh, well, you know, they're looking at Barry Trotz. Well, they still have an interim coach in Andrew Brunette who, you know, the funny, crazy part is who's still under contract for a year as an assistant coach. So realistically, he still could have to be an assistant coach, even though he's a Jack Adams nominee. I mean, it's just
well, they let go their assistant coaches, right?
Right.
So that's even more bizarre. Like, you've let your assistant coaches go, and Andrew Brunette, we should mention, has previously
they're doing him dirty.
Yeah, I agree, Drew. I agree. I think Brunette deserves better. Like, I really do. Like either give him a contract or tell him, you know, I think there might be a chance, Dave, that he stays in the organization in a management role. We're not sure. It's kind of like Barry Trotz and, you know, his role in Nashville. We're not really sure, like, exactly what it is. We just know that it's a management role, but I agree with you 100%. There have been conflicting reports when it comes to Florida, and kind of going back to what we were talking about before. Yeah. Nobody's going to say that, you know, Florida isn't desirable for the weather and no state tax. Everybody knows that. We've been talking about this for years. We just don't know how serious, you know, Barry is about joining the Panthers. But, you know, as far as, you know, some of the other coaches go, I mean, it's anybody's guess. Like, you know, if Florida doesn't get Barry Trotz, are they going to keep Andrew Brunette? Like, or are they also in seriously on Jim Montgomery? Like, we just don't know.
Well, let me ask you guys that. That's where I was wanted to segue this conversation to. If you're Jim Montgomery right now, what are you thinking? I mean, you're sort of also sort of stuck in limbo here because it sounds like there's a head coaching opportunity waiting for you when Barry Trotz makes his decision. how long are you? Are you just prepared to sort of twiddle your thumbs and keep waiting?
I think so.
It's sort of, you know, he's also sort of just stuck in this weird vortex as everybody else waits for Barry Trotz.
Yeah, Dave mentioned this either a week ago or a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if we know this now for sure, but I think he might be under contract with St. Louis. He might not be, but if he doesn't take a head coaching job, Dave, you'd have to think that St. Louis would be interested in bringing him back, right? Like, you hear, in St. Louis, like they've loved what he's done as an assistant with Craig Berube, right? So I think, yeah, you are prepared to wait a long time, Drew, right? Because, I mean, look, we talked about Vegas hires Cassidy and Philly hires Tortorella. So there's only a few, there's still some head coaching vacancies. There's still four by my count, but, it's the field is thinning out, right? So if you're Jim Montgomery, I don't think you're in a position where you can force anybody's hand. And that's not what you're saying, Drew, but you're just saying, it must be a little bit frustrating for a guy like Jim Montgomery, who knows that he's in demand and he's had some interviews with NHL teams, but basically he has to wait for the Barry Trotz domino to fall, right?
So Montgomery signed a 2-year contract in St. Louis in 2020, in September of 2020. Yeah. Now, my assumption would be that that contract would probably expire at the end of this season. That's usually how it works. It wouldn't go until September of 2022 as a function of the weird COVID schedule. So his contract is coming to an end. But at the same time, I would agree with you, as he, based on everything that happened in St. Louis, the success of the Blues, and they have been successful, there's no reason to think that if he doesn't end up with a head coaching job, he won't move back behind the bench. I can't see him coming to Winnipeg as an assistant to Barry Trotz. That would just be sort of too awkward, given that he was, unless he comes in as almost a head coaching, like with a head coach in waiting title, if there's that transition plan with Trotz to move up to management in a couple of years, that would be
Dave, especially because, we've been told by the insiders that Scott Arneil is going to be part of the coaching staff, right? So that's even more reason why, Drew, to your point, that Jim Montgomery is probably not going to become an assistant coach with the Jets. He wants to be the head coach.
Yeah, he wants to be a head coach in the NHL. There's no question. He's been able to, it sounds like he's been able to solve the alcohol issues that he was struggling with that led to his dismissal in Dallas. And, I'm sure that he considers himself an NHL head coach because his track record was one of success as an NHL head coach, Dave. Now, if the Jets can somehow pull off a Trotz-Montgomery pairing, with Arneil doing whatever, leave him to the side for the moment, then, that would certainly be a boon to the Winnipeg Jets.
Be like Steph Curry and Wiggins.
Sure. If you want to use an NBA analogy, that would be apropos.
Come on, Drew. You're a basketball guy. We got to give a shout out to Golden State.
Hey, look, anytime a Boston team loses, a butterfly gets their wings. So I think everybody's happy about that. But, if you're
we just lost all of our Boston fans, Dave.
I don't think we'd have that many. I'm not too concerned about that. But I think if you're
great sports town in Boston, Drew. I'm not going to get in on that hate with you.
Thank you. If you're Montgomery,
we saw a couple games at Fenway, so I'm a little bit biased. I love that town.
Are you done talking? Can I keep going?
No.
Okay. If you're Montgomery, you're very much in a bit of a wait and see moment as well, Dave. But I guess you're counting on being a well regarded assistant coach, so you have that in your back pocket at the very least if a head coaching opportunity doesn't come along.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are only so many head coaching offers, right, or opportunities to that 32. Are there, right? Yeah, 32, and this season there aren't that many, right? We're looking at Winnipeg, Detroit, Dallas, and Boston. Florida
still hasn't been done.
It seems like Woodcroft
and Dallas already eliminated Dallas, right? So really, there's only two other teams for Jim Montgomery, right, Dave? So like,
yeah, no, for sure.
Detroit to me actually makes a lot of sense for him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, like I said, like you've got a good young team in Detroit, and there's a lot of really good talent on that, in their prospect system right now. So Detroit definitely is an interesting, appealing market to coach in. I mean, they're as a passionate fan base as you can find. Love that arena. Love everything about Detroit. Love the wing wheel. So shout out to them. But no, I think it's like, Drew, the situation for Montgomery is kind of not dissimilar to what it was before, except because remember when Trotz was there, everybody was saying like, this is Trotz's show, right? Once he goes, the dam breaks. Well, he was there. The dam didn't break, but then Cassidy all of a sudden appeared. Now there's a second dam. Mm-hmm. Now that dam is broken, right? Cassidy's been hired. And Tortorella wasn't necessarily seen as like a, as a huge, like obviously Tortorella wasn't even a thought in Winnipeg, wasn't a thought in a lot of markets. So wasn't as if his hiring was actually going to impact the coaching carousel. The reality is people are still waiting on Trotz. And look, if you're Montgomery, you know, I'm sure, look, a lot of teams don't like to stand in the way of their assistant coaches getting head coach's role. So, right. So if the St. Louis Blues can give Jim Montgomery a little bit of latitude, he's still under contract. If they can give him a little bit of latitude for a little bit longer, it's not going to be the end of the world. Like, you don't need to know what your assistant coach is going to be doing in the middle of the summer. It's not going to have an impact on your hockey organization. So if they have to wait a little bit longer, it's not going to kill the St. Louis Blues to figure that out and work that out with Jim Montgomery if they decide to re-up and stick around there. I'm just saying that you're in a situation where, you know, if you're Jim Montgomery, it is frustrating. But look, it's not like he's sitting around twiddling his thumbs saying, well, I'll just wait till Barry Trotz makes a decision on Winnipeg, and then if he doesn't, I'll go there. I mean, he interviewed in Boston, right? I'm sure he's interviewed in Detroit. So the guy is going to still look for his opportunities. And if one presents itself, even if he thinks that Winnipeg is his best fit, if he sees an opportunity in Boston, or he gets offered an opportunity in Boston, he gets offered an opportunity in Detroit, I suspect he would take it. And I suspect that's what a lot of Jets fans, I think, are worried about with waiting for Barry Trotz. That is big concern.
You're on your third choice.
That's right. You don't want to be left at the, you know, at the dance without anyone to dance with. And I think that is a sentiment I'm getting from a lot of folks on Twitter, and you're seeing it in a lot of comments, which is, you know, if the Jets wait too long for Barry Trotz, you know, we say, oh, well, it's not a big deal, because as long as you have him in place by July 1st, you know, or July 2nd or whatever it is, you know, or slightly before, whatever that's going to look like, as long as you have him in place, it doesn't impact, because it still gives him time to talk to people in the organization. I just want to say as quick as, but the problem for Jets fans is if Detroit comes out tomorrow and hires Jim Montgomery, well, there goes your number two choice. And now if Barry Trotz says, I'm taking the year off, or I'm going to take a different opportunity, or I'm going to stay in Nashville, then now, as I just said, you're kind of left going, well, we don't have our first choice, we don't have our second choice. And now it's, you know, as a,
but is he the second choice though, Dave? Like, we just think he's the second choice. We don't actually know he's a choice. I mean, we know Barry Trotz is number one. And by the way, Dave, I probably would put Montgomery as number two, because if you add everything up, right? Like, I think, you know, we don't know this for sure. We haven't heard his name a lot lately, but I mean, he's a good friend of the show, good friend of yours, Dave. Like Pascal, like to me, Pascal makes a lot of sense. And there might be some people that say, no, I mean, don't bring in someone with ties to True North. Well, Pascal's a great hockey coach. Look at all the players he's developed with the Manitoba Moose. So all I'm saying, though, is if, you know, Scott Arneil is going to come in as an assistant coach, Jim Montgomery makes a lot of sense as the head coach. And then, I mean, we're not really sure at this point, you know, who would be the other assistant coach. We're assuming it's going to be a new assistant coach, right? But to your point, I don't know what other options like Jim Montgomery has, right? Like, I think he would love to be the head coach of the Jets, but he knows that they want Barry. Like, this isn't a secret, guys. Like, it's not like it's only in Manitoba where, you know, where we know that, you know, Mark Chipman, True North, Chevy, like they want Trotz, right? So I think all these Jets fans that are saying that they're, you know, kind of getting sick and tired of it, it's like, what difference does it make if Trotz signs with the Jets on June 18th versus, you know, June 28th? Like, who cares? Like, just at this point, you know, we've waited this long, just wait a little longer.
10 days of content for LeoCurve.com. That's what I'll tell you. That's what
I mean. It's like me and a girlfriend, right? I waited until I was 25. I can wait a little longer.
You have a girlfriend? How does your wife feel about that? But, you know, the problem is, I think, to exactly what you guys both said, is that, you know, if they wait, you know, if they don't, if on June 18th, they're okay waiting, and then on June 28th, they're still okay waiting, and then on July 8th, they get left at the altar, you know, then you got to go back and you got to sort of restart your process. And now you're really, again, sort of up against the eight ball a little bit as it pertains to that process and finding that head coach. The counterpoint to that is, you remember, you know, the head coach of the Colorado Avalanche, Jared Bednar. When did he get the job? Do you guys remember? He got the job, I think, in like August one year, when Patty Roy just sort of up and quit on the Avalanche.
Yeah, good memory, Drew. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. And everyone said, well, now the Avalanche are screwed. And they had that terrible year.
He's a great coach.
But Jared Bednar is clearly a top flight NHL head coach. So you never know, you know, where, you know, the diamond in the rough might be coming from when you're not expecting it.
And,
so that
and I get it, Drew. Sorry to cut you off. Like, it seems like I'm cutting you guys both off today, but you know, it goes back to what I said. I understand that a lot of Jets fans, you know, want Barry Trotz as their head coach and they want it to happen ASAP, but that's just not how it works sometimes. When you're a guy like him, like look in Trotz's situation, he wasn't expecting to get fired. Right. I don't know if anybody's ever expecting to be fired, but I mean, you have to give him a little bit of, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt here, right? It's not just about picking a hockey team to coach. There are family considerations, and we know that Barry Trotz is, you know, just as big of a family man as Drew is, right? So I would just say, I know people don't want to hear this, but you got to be a little bit more patient. We're going to find out soon, but it's probably going to be, you know, a week to 2 weeks. And Dave M's going to love the content.
Yeah, I'm going to love the content. The other thing I thought was notable this week, and we've spent the first hour of the program talking about Trotz Watch, and not surprising given all the news that came out this week. But the other thing that I thought was notable from a Jets perspective was that Frank Saravalli, who is as tied into the league as anybody is in the NHL, he put out his trade bait board. Mark Scheifele wasn't on it. Mark Scheifele on June 9th was 25th out of 25th on the Frank Saravalli trade bait board. So that to me said, he's there, but he's not really there. He's not even on the list yesterday in the trade report that came out. So I think that's interesting. I think that's notable because, again, these guys, they're pretty tuned into what is happening and what is being, you know, spread around the league. And if Mark Scheifele's name is not being bandied about right now, and it could be simply because the Winnipeg Jets, they don't need to, right? He's under contract for two more years. Mm-hmm. And right now their focus is on the head coaching role and that sort of thing. But I thought it was notable. I thought it was interesting that Mark Scheifele, you know, they added five players to the trade bait board. It went from 25 to 30, either players or contracts of players. And Mark Scheifele's name was no longer on it. So I thought that was notable. I thought that was worth paying attention to. And like I said, we'll see where it goes. You know, look, it could change again when the next one comes out. But I just thought it was interesting that Mark Scheifele's name was no longer listed on Saravalli's trade bait board.
You have to wonder if the Jets are almost closed for business until they get this head coaching situation resolved, because it certainly seems that way, given that absolutely there's been no movement as it pertains to pending free agents. There's been no movement as it pertains to pending restricted free agents. There's been no movement at all with regard to the Winnipeg Jets, you know, on the player.
And a lot of other teams are getting there. A lot of other teams, sorry, Drew, but just quickly, a lot of other, just to your point, a lot of other teams are doing, they're getting their business done. Even teams like the Colorado Avalanche are signing players right now. So it's not as if like teams, you know, it's the Stanley Cup, you know, finalists are making signings. So are a lot of other teams. So yeah, you're right. The Jets are maybe a little bit close for business, but that doesn't mean that chatter still doesn't happen. And so, like I said, I still thought it was notable.
Guys, Trotz Mania has taken over so much that we had a blockbuster Shea Weber for Evgeny Dadonov trade that we haven't even talked about.
We can talk about that later in the show, but it's to the point that you just said that we were just talking about. You know, we had Eric Comrie on, what was that, 3 weeks ago now, if I'm not mistaken. And Eric Comrie said that his agents, his representation, hasn't heard a word from Kevin Cheveldayoff, and that, you know, and that seems, again, if there's a deal to be done there, if the Jets want to come to an agreement with Eric Comrie, it seems like it should be a relatively easy number to come to, but no movement on that front yet. You would think that Kevin Cheveldayoff, you know, considering that the NHL basically shuts down for the month of August, you would think that he'd want to begin to sort of check off some of the low-hanging fruit off the Jets' to-do list, but it seems as though, at least so far in the offseason, nothing has occurred to this point when it comes to the Jets, aside from the innuendo and the speculation and the nonstop Trotz Watch and Montgomery Mania, if it comes to that as well.
Yeah, I was just going to quickly say, Drew, and even though I agree with Dave, I don't think any of us are expecting Pierre-Luc Dubois to sign before the NHL draft. We're kind of expecting that to happen at some point later in the summer, right? Like whether that's August.
That could happen at training camp. I mean,
it can happen at training camp, right? But there are other free agents aside from Eric Comrie. We talked about them last week, right? Like you've got guys like Jansen Harkins, Mason Appleton, Evgeny Svechnikov. It's possible that, you know, one or two of those guys aren't coming back next year, but you'd have to think at least one of those players is coming back, right? So there are other players to sign aside from Dubois. I wanted to mention that. So, right, it is going to be a very, you know, busy month of July for Chevy for sure.
It certainly looks like it's shaping up that way. When we come back, Ken Wiebe is in Denver. We think he's there for the Stanley Cup final and not for the golf, but we'll ask him about that. Don't go anywhere. Ken Wiebe, more on the Jets talk, more on the Stanley Cup final Saturday morning. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Hour number two up next on YouTube, on Twitter, on all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers, too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hi, Ez. A strange question for you. But why are you lying on the ground being crushed by a piano?
Well, Drew, I definitely tried to carry this baby grand piano down the stairs by myself, and somehow I failed miserably.
Right. I'm sorry. That was a silly question on my part. My apologies. Would you like me to call Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage to help you move the piano? They are the most experienced piano moving company in Winnipeg, after all.
Yes, please call Rolly's and hurry. This piano is very, very heavy.
Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage offers stress-free residential moving services while taking great care of your personal belongings, including your piano. At Rolly's, no job is too big or too small. For more information, visit Rolly's.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
Hey, it's Aaron from Bernstein's Deli.
That's right, Ezzy. I'm the guy who makes all your sandwich dreams come true.
So when you think Illegal Curve, what comes to you?
How about juicy chicken schnitzel, grilled salami, fried onions, melted cheddar cheese, and honey mustard on toasted thick-cut city rye bread?
Man, that's like the holy grail of sandwiches.
And so it shall be known as the Illegal Curve Sandwich.
The Illegal Curve Sandwich. Try it today at Bernstein's Deli. Find us at Corridon and Lanark or online at bernsteinsdeli.com.
Hey! Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile.
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Hour number two. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg live with you on a Saturday morning, talking about the Winnipeg Jets, talking about the coaching search, talking about the Stanley Cup final. Much to discuss. Our friend Ken Wiebe going to join us momentarily as soon as we're able to get him the link that he needs to join us here on this fine program, as he's going to take care of that effort. I appreciate that. Obviously, it'll be good to talk to Kenny. He's in Denver for the Cup Final, a riveting game one between. There he is, Mr. Wiebe, joining us now on the program. Kenny, how are you, buddy?
Well, walk and good talk.
Good morning to the Curves. We've had a little Where's Waldo theme going this week, so I figured we would try to keep it up. How are you guys this glorious day?
Well, it's,
we're good, Kenny.
It looks very nice there in Denver. Nice of you to dress up for us this morning. Obviously, you're heading to the rink ahead of the morning skates before another riveting, which should be a riveting game too, between the Lightning and the Avalanche, of course.
Yes, a little bit of, I wouldn't say high drama, but I guess we'll see. We're expecting Andrew Cogliano on the ice today. Not sure if Nazem Kadri ready to join the main group yet, but he was seen taking shots this week, so he is making some progress. So yes. That's the only real lineup news, I guess, for the Avalanche. But, yeah, what a great game one. Incredible atmosphere, guys. I've been humming and singing Small Things all week here for the last 2 weeks, basically.
Yeah.
Just electric. It was very reminiscent of 2018. And what a start to the series. I mean, I guess if you're the Tampa Bay Lightning, you're probably not thrilled with how you played, but you still found a way to get it to overtime. If you're the Avalanche, you think you played pretty well, but you probably have a little bit more to give as well. So irresistible force and the immovable object. We'll see what happens in game two here.
It is fascinating, and I think it's just riveting hockey, watching the speed at which it's played. And I mean, I think when you see these two teams, the Avalanche and the Lightning, playing at that speed, and you look at some of the other games that we've watched over the course of the year, you can sort of see how far the vast majority of teams in the NHL have to go to get to the level that the Lightning and Avalanche are performing at on a regular basis.
Yeah, bang on. And I've sort of been describing it these 2 weeks to people who don't see the Avalanche as often. They play at warp speed, guys, when they're going. Honestly, the Edmonton Oilers are not slow, but they look slow when the Avalanche crank it up. And same for Tampa. Mm-hmm. The other night, they made Victor Hedman look slow on numerous occasions. And it's not just Victor Hedman. I mean, they were all over the Tampa Bay Lightning defense on the forecheck, ferocious with their pinches. I mean, Cale Makar didn't get a point on the play. But on the Nichushkin goal, that does not happen without the read along the wall to pinch off or seal off Andre Palat. So it's funny. We always talk about Colorado being an offensive juggernaut, and they are, but they can also defend. I mean, they only gave up 23 shots on goal. I mean, yeah, we get it. Tampa Bay kind of eases into series and says, hey, oh, let's talk at 0-2 or 0-2 down in game three, and then we'll talk about maybe where things are at. But I think if you're the Colorado Avalanche, you're pretty thrilled about how you opened the series. But, I mean, I think they have more to give, too. I mean, this was the first game of the playoffs that Devon Taves and Cale Makar were not credited with a shot on goal. They had tons of attempts, 9 for Makar himself, but they were not able to really generate as much from the back end as we're used to seeing. So I think if you're Jared Bednar, you think there's another level you can reach. And if you're the Lightning, you're like, well, we played well for 46 seconds, scored twice on Kemper, and then kind of let him off the hook. So it's super interesting. I mean, Hedman struggled. I thought that Steven Stamkos, it was a bit of a quiet game for him. Kucherov, of course, he had the incredible dangle around Devon Taves, but it was a pretty sleepy game for him as well up to that point. So I think if you're John Cooper, you probably had a little chit-chat with some of your star players and said, hey, boys, we have more to give, and we're going to give more. So I think it'll be interesting to see how both teams react, because I think that Cooper also is going to be looking for a plan to sort of slow down or minimize the speed game of the Avalanche. But as we've seen so far in these playoffs, that's easier said than done.
Kenny, we'll get back to the Cup final momentarily. You mentioned all the small things has been in your head all week long, the last couple of weeks. It's not a small thing in Winnipeg. It's the lack of a head coach. You know,
King of the said segue, Weber.
Yeah,
that was very, very impressive. Very impressive.
Thank you. I'm going to take the rest of the show off. You hear, you know, you hear that Trotz and the Jets are meeting this weekend. Then you hear they're not meeting this weekend. You're hearing a decision's coming by July 1st. You're hearing a decision's coming next week. You're hearing everything from everyone. No one's quite sure where the truth lies. How important is it for the Jets to get this done sooner rather than later from your perspective?
Yeah, honestly, Drew, I think that the timing is something that has been vastly overrated. You need to get it right. So does that mean it has to be done on June 18th? No. This is a critical decision for the organization. If they can get Barry Trotz, obviously that's what they want to do. That's what they've wanted to do from the very beginning. But the season, this is what I said this with Hustler the other day, guys. When the team that you cover or the team that you are a fan of is finished playing hockey in April and don't play again until October 11th or 12th, it feels like an eternity, right? I get it. Free agency will open in, it's still almost a month until free agency, guys. And, it, you know, 3 weeks to the draft. So would they love to have it done sooner than later? Of course. But the timing for me is not essential. Getting the hire right, that's the essential part. And let's be honest here. Barry Trotz has been the number one choice. So you give the number one choice as long as the number one choice needs to decide what the number one choice wants to do with his life. I mean, Barry Trotz is 59 years old. This might be his last coaching job. We know he turned down a lucrative offer from Philadelphia. There's a reason for that. Part of the reason, maybe he didn't want to coach in Philadelphia. He wanted to be somewhere where it's a little less volatile. We also know the other critical component for him, family first, and then the maybe opportunity to ease into management. That opportunity at least appears to be best suited for Winnipeg. But, you know, in speaking with Elliot Friedman here, my colleague, the Detroit Red Wings are a bit of a sleeper here. Nobody knows what Steve Yzerman's doing, but there's a belief that the Red Wings are interested in Barry Trotz. And we know, yes, it seems as though they're a little bit slower along the development path, but what we saw from Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider this year, well, those are two pretty critical components. The other buzz around here is that the Red Wings are going to upgrade in goal. Whether that means Jack Campbell or somebody else, well, now suddenly the Red Wings are looking and saying, oh, you know what? The Boston Bruins have four or five players that are going to be out for up to 6 months. They look susceptible in a division that has been pretty tough to get in on. So could they expedite the process by bringing in someone with the structure of Barry Trotz? Maybe. And again, I'm not trying to, you know, make Jets fans nervous, guys, but there's this belief that it's maybe Jets or bust. I don't believe that's the case, but I do think they're very much a strong consideration for Barry. We know they're still an option, or else they wouldn't be meeting again. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Obviously, everyone's waiting on pins and needles, and I totally get it, but you don't need Barry Trotz in place or the next head coach in place. I would say the week before the draft would probably be beneficial, but it's not essential. But the biggest thing that we know regarding the Jets and personnel, if Barry Trotz tells Kevin Cheveldayoff, I want Mark Scheifele on my team, well, now that could change the way the Jets are looking at the offseason. But what I'm also here to tell you guys, I would say I'm much less bullish on Scheifele being moved in this offseason than I was a month ago, let's say, just from what we're hearing, a little bit of the buzz around the rink. We've talked about it before. The Jets worked really hard to get Pierre-Luc Dubois and Mark Scheifele as their top two centers down the middle to give them that strength and then have Adam Lowry as their checking line. So they're not going to go out of their way to just give this player away. It's 6 years of point per game plus production. So, and until the other complicating matter, unless you can get Pierre-Luc Dubois to commit to a long-term deal, well, now you're running the risk of losing two number one centers. Look how hard it was. Look how long it took the Jets to get a second line, or essentially two top line centers. So you're not going to suddenly just say, oh, by the way, you know, no problem. Not only do we not need two, we don't really even need one. And again, I know you're probably getting one back in a trade if you move one of those guys, but sorry for the trip to the buffet. To me, I'm still very intrigued by two teams when it comes to Scheifele, the Carolina Hurricanes and also the New York Rangers. What happened to the Rangers? Incredible run, but where did they struggle? They struggle at 5-on-5 scoring. Well, what do we know about Mark Scheifele? He can produce offense at 5-on-5. And I would say, too, I mean, look at how well it went for Andrew Cobb, and deservedly so. If you're Artemi Panarin, you're thinking, what about Cobb and Scheifele on a line, on your second line? So, I mean, can the Jets get someone like Philip Hedl? I don't know. But, and again, Carolina, you know, Natchez had a tough year. Would Marty Natchez be a guy you want to maybe build around? We always talk about right shot centermen. He might make some sense. But this is the thing that I would say. So another reason people are talking about Scheifele, well, the offers haven't been that great. Boys, what do we know about offers? You're not getting your best offer in June, probably, right? When the draft is in July. So I think there's a lot of moving parts, and those parts will continue to move here, whether it's the coaching front or what personnel changes could be on the horizon.
I love it, Kenny. You went to the buffet and then you went, sat down, had a little nibble, and then you went back to the buffet. That's why we have you on. That's why we love you.
Two trips. We call that the Ginsburg.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I usually go back five times, but
the crab legs came out during midstream, so I had to grab another plate.
Absolutely love it. I agree with you. I'm leaning towards, as I think, you know, and you, me and you and us are not the only ones that think that it's looking less and less likely that Scheifele is going to be traded. We'll have to wait and see. And as you mentioned, the head coach could have a big impact on that. I just wanted to go back, Kenny, to the Stanley Cup final, because I'm sure that Dave M is going to jump in here and ask you about Trotz watch and the free farmer sausage for life. But, you know, wanted to ask you about Braden Point, because obviously, you know, he missed a big chunk of the playoffs. And I know that you're a big fan of his game, and he's been kind of Mr. Everything for the Lightning in the playoffs the last couple of years. I mean, in addition to Nikita Kucherov, Victor Hedman, who you mentioned, Andrei Vasilevsky. I mean, you had a great article for Sportsnet. .ca. I recommend everybody read that about how the Lightning have been able to bounce back time and time again in the playoffs. What are you expecting out of Braden Point? Because obviously the Avalanche are hoping to get Nazem Kadri back, but I think you'd agree if you've got a productive Braden Point going, that's going to make the Lightning just that more dangerous in this final.
Yeah, great perceptive point, Ezzy. I thought that Braden Point was pretty good for the circumstances he was under, having not played since early in the opening round. Two quick things. I was at the practice the day before the game where, oh, well, he's still kind of day-to-day. Braden Point was a man on a mission. He was flying around. Everyone in the building knew he was playing. Now, I know why John Cooper said it. This was not a smokescreen. When you push yourself that hard, when you haven't been in the lineup, you wonder how the guy's going to feel the next day. And here's what I thought about Braden Point. I thought he was involved and active, but because of two things, because of altitude and because he'd been gone for so long, I saw Braden Point gliding a lot, and it's natural. You're trying to get, like, the first round series was played at a pretty high level of speed against Toronto, but now you've missed two full rounds, and you're playing the fastest team in the league. So it took him some time to kind of find his way. I thought his creativity was on display, but he wasn't as involved offensively as we're used to seeing. So for me, most people would say, well, the two-day break, well, what is it going to mean? Well, for me, Braden Point had two more days to kind of get acclimatized. I think we're going to see him be one of the best players on the ice for the Lightning today, to be honest. And they need him to be because that's the way he's sort of the engine, much like I wrote about Nathan MacKinnon. Point is kind of the engine. Kucherov is the kind of flash and dash, and Stamkos, you know what you're getting every single day. But Braden Point is the kind of guy, like he's the kind of emotional kind of person in terms of leadership, quiet leader, but he really is the driver of their offense in a lot of ways. And I think he's going to get better and better as the series goes on.
You know, Kenny, got to ask you about if Trotz Watch doesn't come to fruition, what then? What next? I mean, you know, it seems like everybody in the province, and I detailed it the other day, and everybody was having fun with how many free things he's been offered, oil changes, sausages, free-range eggs.
We just got free escape room access while we've been on air.
Bowling. I mean, like, the list goes on and on. Manitoba is focused, whether it's rural or Winnipeg. Everybody is focused on Barry Trotz Watch. I like how Kenny's got us walking with him now through Colorado. Very cool, Ken. But
I just want to make sure Ken doesn't walk into anything.
Well, that's why it's good he's keeping his eyes focused on the task.
Head on a swivel, boys. Head on a swivel.
He keeps his ears attuned to us. He keeps his eyes focused on the road. But Kenny, you know, what is your feeling on if Trotz Watch doesn't come to fruition, if Barry decides, you know, and he's going to take some time off or he's just going to, you know, look at a different opportunity. What do you see next happening in Winnipeg?
Well, you know, the hypotheticals, they are important. First of all, hey, what I said to Huss the other day too, guys, you love the way locals are stepping up, but if you're going to be making in the neighborhood of $5 million, you're not going to need a whole lot of freebies in your life, though they are always welcome, right?
So, Kenny, if you're a true Manitoban, though, you don't turn it away. It doesn't matter how much money you've got.
Barry would take it and give it to a good cause in a lot of ways, I'm sure. So it's super interesting, guys. Obviously, one of the names we've been hearing, and it's been reported a lot, and I've been hearing the same sort of things. Jim Montgomery is kind of someone who's on the periphery of being a possibility. He had an excellent interview in Vegas before Bruce Cassidy kind of became available. And I think maybe they pivoted a little bit on that front. There's still plenty of quality candidates out there. Montgomery is an interesting one, of course. You know, we've talked about Scott O'Neill. You know, he's obviously had a great career as an assistant. It didn't go quite as well in Columbus as the head guy. But he's a guy who could be on staff. Pete DeBoer is still out there. I mean, there's a lot of good candidates. And then, too, there's probably a couple of sleeper candidates that could be out there. Pascal Vincent. But to me, the Jets, and rightly so, are focusing on Trotz because they believe there's a, you know, better than average chance they can land him. I mean, it's a tough scenario because all of a sudden if you wait and then all the musical chairs, the music stops. And well, I think in this situation, what I would say though, there's more quality candidates than openings, especially with the ones that were filled this week. So I don't think there's any reason to panic. And my line throughout this whole Trotz Watch process is they're not going to fold the franchise if they don't get Barry. There's a lot of smart coaches out there. There's a lot of people with ideas. Having said that, I'm with everybody else. Barry right now looks like the best option. And the Jets are going to continue to do everything they can to lock that down. So the other piece that we knew that Pierre was reiterated this week, LeBrun, was that, you know, the Nashville management opportunity could be an option if he decides to take the year off because, well, he's getting paid to coach. So he doesn't have to coach this year if he doesn't want to. He's already got a, you know, support system in place for his family. So we'll see what happens on that front. But here's the thing for me, guys. It was a tough year for Barry. Tough 2 years in a lot of ways with the pandemic, like a lot of coaches. But this guy loves to coach. So for me, does he want to get into management? Sure. But I think Barry wants to be behind the bench and help people and help players grow and help teams grow. So I think, if, you know, whether it's this year or next year, I don't think we've seen the last of Barry Trotz behind a bench. And that's why the Jets remain a very solid option for him.
Kenny Wiebe, our guest, Saturday morning. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Kenny, walking to the rink in Denver ahead of today's game two between the Avalanche.
Getting a nice tour of the city right now, Drew.
And yes, we're getting a lovely tour of Denver for all those who've never been to the Mile High City. You know, Kenny, you talk about the timing of it all and that the Jets don't need to make a decision, you know, on June 18th, and they don't need to make a decision necessarily on July 1st. But given the upheaval that was in the dressing room at the end of last year, don't you think there's an advantage to a head coach getting in there earlier to begin to sort of explore what he has with the different personalities and to see what's salvageable and where he needs to focus his energies?
No, honestly, I don't, Drew. It's a media-driven narrative right now on that front. And again, I'm not dismissing it outright by any stretch of the imagination. I think that any coach who takes the job is going to be well aware of the circumstances. So, like I said before, the season starts in October. Training camp starts in September. You know, even if you got to talk to 30 players, you don't need to start. Would you like an extra month to do it? Sure. But a lot of players are on vacation now anyway, so I think that the Jets have a plan. Will that plan be, you know, altered slightly by who's behind the bench? Maybe, but I don't think it's a big overhaul between whether it's Jim Montgomery or Barry Trotz or someone else. I think the Jets know what they want to do. I think any coach who is interested in the job knows exactly how he's going to attack the offseason. And here's the other thing. I'm very happy that the Jets were very honest. But here's the thing, guys. When you play on a losing team, it doesn't matter what sport you're in. It doesn't matter if it's in slow pitch or seventh division hockey or in the National Hockey League. When you're not winning, it's not fun. It doesn't matter if you have the best player, best people around. And that's the other part. I don't want people to be happy if they're losing. It should suck if you're not playing well or reaching expectations. Does that mean some things get inflated or blown up? Yes, of course it does. But it doesn't mean that this is a house of cards that cannot be repaired. I've talked to a lot of people about this, lots of former NHL coaches, and is there some work to be done? Absolutely. But it's not a place where they can't dig. You're going to need the shovel, but I don't think you're, for lack of a better pun, avalanched in right now, given the city that I'm in. But having said that, watching the Avalanche, It's a long road to the top in the Central Division and the Western Conference. So, I mean, there is a lot of work to be done. And, of course, you'd like to have more time. But I don't see it as critical an issue as most of us in the media are making it because they know what they need to be getting done. So the number of conversations, look at the technology, what we have right now, boys. There's going to be no problem getting, you know, some feedback. And Kevin Cheveldayoff already got all that feedback at his exit interviews. So now it's down to the coach doing that. And even there, a lot of that happens during the season. You can have a plan, but the evolution is as you get to know the player, it's going to happen. I mean, yeah, it's like the 1 year when Paul Maurice went to see Patrick Laine. He didn't go see 25 players that summer, guys, okay? So I get it, but I don't think it's as critical for the timing, though I do think we're going to see some action here. Yeah, like Pierre reported, we're going to see it done before July 1st. But for those wondering if it's going to be an announcement on Tuesday, I would not be holding my breath for another announcement anytime soon here.
Yeah, and Kenny, to your point about, you know, the technological age we're living in, I've been hearing from those same guys at the gas station in Swift Current that Barry's going to be announcing who he's going to be coaching next year on TikTok. as opposed to like kind of the traditional way, right? So.
Exactly. As you know, he's really a me kind of person, you know, very sort of the guy who loves to draw attention to himself, social media being one of his biggest platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kenny, we got one last question for you here, and then we'll get you back to covering the Stanley Cup Final Game 2 tonight. And obviously enjoying your Saturday afternoon in Denver, or I guess it's an hour earlier there, so Saturday morning in Denver. I want to kind of do a little bit of a rapid fire. We were talking about this last week. Haven't had you on in a little while to talk about some of the RFAs.
Right.
And the ones that I wanted to ask you about, because I think, you know, you'd agree that it makes a lot of sense that Eric Comrie comes back, you know, if the money works and everything like that. But I wanted to ask you about three guys who haven't been talked about a lot. It's possible that you've talked to Huss and Remus on Winnipeg Sports Talk about these guys. And you know what I'm going to ask you about. Of Jansen Harkins, Mason Appleton, and Evgeny Svechnikov, which one of those guys, or do you see all three of those guys coming back? Kind of like, what's your take on those three guys who are obviously more, you know, bottom six guys?
Yeah, I would say that I would expect at least two of the three back, and I don't see a scenario where there's no qualifying offer being given. But I do wonder if they're looking to change the mix of that bottom six. I could see one of those guys being involved in a trade. But I mean, Evgeny Svechnikov was found money for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, former first round, or I'm sorry, I hate that term. You're always a first rounder. You're never a former first rounder. So you got a guy as a UFA. He had some moments in the top six. He played in the bottom six. Didn't go well at times, but I think he's a fit here. Where his fit's going to be, I don't know. Jansen Harkins, might he be a guy who wants a different change of scenery? Perhaps. Appleton, we know he's going to be attached probably to Adam Lowry next season. So I'd say two of three for sure. I could see a move being made maybe with Harkins, but it depends on what's out there, and maybe it's a package deal. And we also know, guys, speaking of package deals, someone on the back end is going to have to move. So do you throw in Harkins to sweeten the pot? It could happen. I mean, a team like Seattle makes sense for me for Jansen Harkins. There wasn't much opportunity here. They didn't score a lot. They didn't have a lot of offense. I could see that kind of being a fit, but I don't know who you would package on the back end there. So I think that all three of those guys could be part of the future, but I wouldn't be surprised if one of them was moved.
It'll be a busy July for the Winnipeg Jets. That much is evident. Kenny Wiebe is in Denver for the Stanley Cup Final. Kenny, we'll let you get hooked up to an oxygen tank with that mile-high air there. Thanks for joining us. Thanks,
Kenny, is there any Coors laying around that you could bring back to Winnipeg?
What's that? Sorry.
Any Coors laying around that you could maybe get your hands on, bring back to Winnipeg?
No, the only Coors that I got was a nice trip to Coors Field, boys. So always great to be with you. Enjoy the rest of the show. And indeed, I've been getting a lot of walking in, but altitude is a real thing. Yesterday, I was huffing and puffing on my hit, and it seems like today, as we've picked up the pace, I've done the same thing. I'm getting my steps in. People, don't worry. 15 to 20,000 a day, but the altitude is a real thing, and we're going to keep trying to get back up to speed here. Have a great weekend, boys, and always a pleasure to be with you.
You too, Kenny.
On a positive, it makes the golf ball go farther, so hopefully you'll get an opportunity to hit a driver.
Well,
too,
I was
going to
say, you know, Weber mentioned Andrew Cogliano earlier. Kenny's the real Iron Man.
Kenny, thank you, brother. We'll watch coverage on sportsnet.ca. You can look forward to that from our
Thanks
good friend, Kenny.
Me.
We'll see you back in the city, buddy.
Cheers, guys.
There you go. Kenny Wiebe joining us from Denver ahead of game two of the Stanley Cup Final. Let's head to break. When we come back, Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM NHL Radio is going to join us. More Jets talk, more hockey talk, more everything. It's Saturday morning. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Bottom of hour number two. The only thing better than one guest in a row is two guests in a row. We're pleased to welcome to the program Dave McCarthy from NHL.com and NHL Network Radio on SiriusXM Satellite Radio. Dave, good to see you. How are you this morning? Can't hear us, is what Dave seems to be indicating by that.
I don't know if Dave wants to hear us, Drew.
That's also, I know he can't hear us. I think it's not sure what the problem is, Dave. Maybe log out and log back in. I'll boot him from the studio, and then we'll see if that improves.
Why don't you
things.
send him a message.
Early to be kicking Dave off the show.
Drew just likes kicking Dave off, and Drew maybe should have met. If he couldn't hear us, he couldn't actually know what your instructions were. So maybe you should have messaged him in the private chat.
I'll text Dave.
Made more sense. Dave, Ezzy will take care of my shortcomings. But anyways, it'll be great to hear from Dave, of course, as he joins the program momentarily, hopefully with audio problems resolved. Such is the life here on Illegal Curve. Great talking to Kenny before that, getting a nice little tour through Denver there, Dave. Kenny always brings an interesting perspective and a unique perspective. And so it was, he says the timing doesn't matter. For my opinion is that the timing is beginning to matter a little bit more. Both of us could be correct, or both of us have the equal rights to our opinions. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Let's bring Dave back now. Dave, can you hear us? Has that solved the problem at all?
I don't think so.
I'm guessing not. He probably still can't hear us, as appears to be.
Boys, Dave's actually going to text me his answers, and then I'm just going to read. I'm going to read what Dave texts me. So I am texting Dave at the same time as we have him on here.
Okay. Well, maybe you text Dave and see if there's what the audio issue might be. It looks like all of our guests are joining us from outside today. Apparently, there's a hailstorm going on outside. I missed it entirely. I don't know if you guys.
I definitely heard something going on. I didn't know. I was like, I thought it was sunny out. And next thing I know,
I wouldn't know, guys. I'm out in God's country here in the Eastman region, 25 minutes past Lac Du Bonny. So the sun's poking out right now. No hail here.
Well, I'm thrilled for you, Ezzy. Hopefully it's not coming your way, because that area has certainly been drenched enough, much like the entire province of Manitoba has been drenched enough so far.
That's okay, Drew. It's only going to be 37 degrees tomorrow. So
I know. We're only getting hurricane weather, or we're getting heat and humidity and humidex that'll kill us all. So we'll see what is in store for Monday. I believe it's locusts is what is on the forecast for Monday.
Dave's going to log back in. Dave McCarthy, that is, okay. Going to log back in. I gave him a few tips. Told him to maybe change the browser. Google Chrome usually works better. So hopefully Dave's going to be back in about 60 seconds.
Well, just a quick Jets update, or Jets organizational update. There's a tweet from Brian Riley, who's the coach at Army, said congrats to Colin Billick, no relation to Scott Billick, because there's no C in his name, on signing with the Winnipeg Jets organization. So I'm currently trying to figure out who exactly he signed with. I'm going to do some investigation, but Colin Billick apparently signed with the Jets organization, according to his head coach in Army. So we'll see what we can do there. Probably someone for the Moose. I don't really know much about him, because of course we're doing the show and I just saw it. So I've requested some intel from some folks, and we'll see if we can get something before the show ends in 25 minutes.
So Dave, okay. Trott's watch has turned to Billick watch. I like
but
it.
Not Scott Billick watch.
Not Scott Bill. He had 37. He had 31 points in 34 games last year with Army in NCAA hockey. So I agree with you. I don't know much about him, as far as I can tell. An undrafted player. He's 25 years old, so he certainly
can do a lot of push-ups.
Yeah, he can do a lot of push-ups. Certainly wouldn't be what I would describe as a usual prospect signing at that point in time. But stranger things have happened. Alrighty, let's see if third time's the charm. Dave McCarthy, can you hear us, Dave?
Oh, yeah. I got you loud and clear. Sorry,
there we go.
Technology, you don't quite understand how difficult it is for me. So seems to be up and running.
That's
we've
quite
gone
okay.
High tech, Dave. We're not on TSN radio anymore. So we've gone, like, we've got a studio, we've got, you know, different lots of fancy microphones. We've gone big time.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
There you go. I appreciate that you're wearing a Tilly hat, by the looks of it. I think most of our guests need. Oh no, is that more of a Panama hat? What am I seeing there, Dave?
Yeah, it's more of an Indiana Jones type of safari hat.
There you go. I appreciate that. More of our guests need to be wearing hats. I mean, Dave and Ezzy like to wear hats indoors, but at least you're couth enough to wear a hat outdoors, as opposed to those two guys who you can't take anywhere.
Well, look, I'm just trying to bring hats back in fashion. So if I have the couthness, as far as you're concerned, that's good with me.
There you go. Thank you. Dave obviously brought you on to talk about the Stanley Cup final, talk about some of the coaching news around the NHL, a busy week around the NHL as things are beginning to heat up a little bit. Let's start with game one of the final between the Avalanche and the Lightning. I mean, what stood out to me the most is the speed on display between those two teams, and it's just exceptional hockey back and forth. But if you're Tampa and you didn't play all that well, you didn't play your A game certainly, and you took the Avalanche all the way to overtime, you have to be probably okay with how that all played out.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Look, I kind of became the main character on Avalanche Twitter after game one, because apparently on Ice Cap, I was not complimentary enough. But look, you know, when you tune into Ice Cap, a national postgame show, and you're a fan of a particular team, don't expect that I'm just going to tell you what it is you want to hear. Like this isn't Fox News, so to speak, for your team. I'm going to tell you like I see it. And the way I saw it was that Colorado was good. Like, give them credit. They were outstanding in the first 10 minutes, and I thought that given the fact they hadn't played in like 10 days, they could really be up against it early on in that game. But I thought they dominated early in the first. However, in saying all that, you don't score goals on Andre Vasilevsky all that often. In fact, I can't remember the last time you scored one, let alone two, on him that went through him. So take goals where you can on him, but don't expect you're going to be scoring too many more like that on Andre Vasilevsky. The fact that Tampa Bay was able to get their game back in order and tie it back up in the second period in short order, I thought was really impressive. And then they were right there. Like, I thought Colorado took the momentum back in the third period, but Tampa's power play really let them down. They had some good opportunities in that game to take advantage. And even in the third early, when they were tied at two, to take the lead and they couldn't get it done. So if they can get their power play up and running and Vasilevsky just gets back to like regular Vasilevsky level, which is to say not letting goals go through him, which happened very rarely, I still think this Tampa team is in really good shape. But that's not to say Colorado didn't play a good game. They were strong. Here's the thing though. I think they can be better too. And that's what we're going to have to see heading into game two.
So, Dave, you really don't like Colorado, do you?
Yeah, apparently not, right? I hate the Avs.
And, you know, you mentioned you had Matt Calvert on SiriusXM NHL Radio, good Brandon Manitoba boy.
Yeah.
Of course, so I'm sure that was an awesome interview. But as you know, when it gets to Stanley Cup final time, all fans want to hear is, you know, the best things about their own team, right? I wanted to ask you, you know, you mentioned Andre Vasilevsky and you mentioned the power play, like, Who else are you kind of looking at? And I think the obvious one would probably be Victor Hedman. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, obviously.
Nope. But
Hedman obviously was giving up some free pizzas in game one.
Well, you're right. And look, just to continue on the point we were making there about Tampa Bay, it would be one thing if they went into the room after that game and said, "Oh, boys, like we can't play any better than that. I mean, that's the best we can play, and we still lost." Do you think they were saying that? Not a chance were they saying that. So that means they got a lot more to give. And to your point, Victor Hedman was not at his best by any stretch of the imagination. And look, he didn't play real well in game one against the Maple Leafs. And then in game two, he had four assists, right? So look for him to be way better here in game two. He had a bit of a turnover on the second goal where he put it to Nick Paul in a bit of a tight spot. Now, again, credit to the Avs. Their forecheck, they got right on top of Nicky Paul, Valeri Nichushkin, and that led to the turnover. But generally speaking, they either, you know, Hedman makes a better play than that, or Nick Paul is able to chip that out, and it comes back the other way. So I look at Victor Hedman to be a lot better. I look at Andre Vasilevsky to be a lot better. I think Steven Stamkos has got a lot more to give, too. I thought he was not just a guy in the game, but didn't really command the game the way he's capable of doing so. So I look at Tampa Bay and I see all sorts of different areas where they can get better and improve heading into game two. And that's why I have some degree of confidence that they're going to be able to find their way back into this series. Now, in saying all that, boys, I think it's crucial that they do find a way to win game two, because I don't think this Colorado team, and look, I'm complimenting the Avs now, they're not like this Rangers team or any other team they've played throughout these playoffs. If you get down 0-2 to Colorado and have to win four of the next five, that might be a task a little bit too tall even for Tampa Bay.
Saturday morning, you're live with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook with Dave McCarthy of NHL.com and SiriusXM NHL Network Radio.
You know, Dave, what kind of, not necessarily, I'm not going to ask you about the ratings specifically, but what kind of buzz do you think this finals is generating? Because the last two, obviously based on the way they were played, the nature of the fact that it went so deep into summer. Obviously, still, it's a little bit later than usual. But with the way these two teams are configured, and do you think they're the organized, do you think the Stanley Cup final story are getting the hype that this series deserves?
Well, we'll see what the numbers are when they're reflected once it's all said and done. But look, I will say that for the first time in recent memory, and I'm trying to think back to the last time we had a cup final with really unquestionably the best two teams still alive, like maybe back to Chicago, Boston, maybe. You know, even then, though, would we have said that when they played, I think it was 2013, if I'm not mistaken, they were the best two teams? Maybe Chicago was Boston in that same element. Maybe, maybe not. Close. But, like, I can't think of too many where we've had unquestionably the best two teams still available and playing, which I think is good. Dallas, credit to them. They grinded their way there, and I'm not sure too many people had Dallas going to the Cup Final in 2020. Nobody had Montreal going to the Cup Final last year. And we all love a dark horse, but at times it's nice to see best on best. And I think, unquestionably, this is best on best. Would the National Hockey League and the broadcast partners have preferred the New York Rangers to be able to have finished off Tampa Bay and get the New York metropolitan market involved in the Stanley Cup Final? Probably, right? But it's not like the Lightning getting through provides an absence of storylines. Here you've got a team that's trying to become the first team since the Edmonton Oilers in the early 80s to win three in a row, a team that gets to the Cup Final for the first time as a three-time consecutive appearer since 1985. You know, Andre Vasilevsky, if he can put another one up, like, I think he's already in the category of top five goalies of all time. So there's all kinds of storylines with Tampa Bay. So I think that's a good thing. And, you know, I think the ratings should be pretty good. But, you know, it's difficult to predict sometimes. But in terms of the best quality of hockey, I really don't think they could have asked for anything better than Tampa Bay against the Colorado Avalanche.
An average of 4.2 million viewers on ABC and ESPN Plus for game one, which is up 161% from 2021. So you can see that at least just having it on ESPN and having the juggernaut of ESPN behind it immediately creates a bounce for the league. But we'll see if that continues in, you know, games two and there and throughout the series. Dave, shifting away from the Cup Final for a bit, there were some coaching hires this week in Philadelphia. That's where I want to take you. John Tortorella is the man behind the bench, going to try and get the Flyers back to some glory days there. Do you think he's the right hire for Philly? Can he sort of do to the Flyers organization what so many coaches as of late haven't been able to do?
I like the hire. I really do. Whether he'll be able to do what Philly coaches in the past have been unable to do, we'll see. But I think John Tortorella is a fantastic coach. I really, really do. It's funny. Do you remember when he really agitated people about a year ago when he had the gall to suggest that Connor McDavid needs to tighten up a few areas of his game? Like how dare anybody say anything negative about Connor McDavid? Do you think for a second that Connor McDavid played these playoffs the same way that he did a year ago? And I'm not saying it's because he was watching ESPN that day and heard what John Tortorella said and thought, you know, I better do that. But he played a lot more like the player that John Tortorella was suggesting he needs to be. Being harder on pucks, stronger along the boards, more efficient when he doesn't have the puck. A more determined nature. There's a regular season level, and then there's what you have to get to in the playoffs. And you can't, even if you're Connor McDavid, play at that level and expect it'll work. It just does not work. And you watched his details away from the game, away from the puck, I should say, and he was far superior, I thought. And those were all of the things that John Tortorella was talking about. And when he was in his introductory media yesterday, and he was talking about as a coach, my biggest job is getting guys to play what we just talked about, that type of style when they don't have the puck. Look at Tampa Bay. When they don't have the puck, that is how they play, right? Like, they just shut it down. You can't generally get any speed on them through the neutral zone. Like, they have the ability almost, boys, Tampa Bay, to go full 95 Devils when they're at their best. Nothing happens. Nothing happens all game long. And then one thing happens, the other team makes a mistake, and they take advantage and score, and then they win 1-0, or, you know, if it gets crazy, 2-1. But that's what John's talking about, Tortorella, with how he wants his team or any winning team to play. And you have to play that way. When Tampa did not play that way in 2019 against John Tortorella's Columbus Blue Jackets, it did not end well. And the Jackets that year played exactly like how Torts is talking about. So I think he was a guy, look, he can't find a better coach for Philadelphia, right? Like, that is just going to be fantastic to see the give and take there with the media back and forth. But, like, I think Philadelphia, there still may be some holes on that roster. I think if Ryan Ellis can get back, that'll be a big help, because that was a huge loss for them last year. But in saying that, they should not be anywhere near as bad as they were last year, because you look up and down that roster, boys, and, like, honestly, it's like good player, good player, good player, good player, good player, good player, and they lose every night. Like, that, they're not a team like Arizona or Detroit where you look and say, you know, man, I can kind of understand why they lose every night. They shouldn't lose every night. They should at least be in the mix. And I think John will be able to come in there and install a style that will get them back to a more competitive brand of hockey. And if you're not willing to play that style or buy into what John wants you to do, I don't think you'll be around all that long.
You know, Dave, you mentioned the 95 Devils, and I'm a Devils fan, so we have to give a shout-out to Jacques Lemaire and the boys for winning the first of three cups there. Just wanted to get that in. But I wanted to ask you about Florida, because, you know, Drew, I think Drew's words were, you know, they're kind of doing Andrew Burnett a little bit dirty, and they were obviously, you know, victim to the juggernaut Tampa Bay Lightning. But what's your kind of take of what's going on there? Because it didn't look like, you know, Barry Trotz was an option for them. We should also, you know, reiterate that Andrew Burnett has not been told that he won't be the head coach, but, you know, they're hiring, interviewing a bunch of guys. Like, what's your take on what's going on there? Burnett, as you know, Jack Adams finalist, President's Trophy, stepped in for Joel Quenneville under, I think you'd agree, really difficult circumstances. Obviously, it's a really talented roster, but, you know, he still had them as a Stanley Cup favorite, you know, going into the first round. What's kind of your take of what's going on there? Drake's kind of, he used the word bizarre to kind of describe what's happening in Florida.
I certainly did not have them as a Stanley Cup favorite heading into the playoffs. I was quite frankly surprised that they won a round, to be honest with you. Because you look at Florida, look at the hallmark of how they played. They win every game 6-5, right? They fall down 4-1 and they win 6-5. You can't win like that in the playoffs. If you cannot defend, you cannot win. Period. End of discussion. So are they doing Andrew Burnett dirty? I don't think so. As long as they're being honest with him and saying, look, here's what we're going to do in the off season here in the early going, we're going to look around and see what our options are. Like, as long as you're upfront and honest with someone, then I think you have the ability to do whatever it is as an organization you want to do or feel you have to do in order to improve your team. Where I have an issue is when you say one thing to somebody on locker cleanout day, and then 3 weeks later, the story's changed. Whatever could I be talking about? I don't know. That is doing a guy dirty, and I couldn't conduct business that way. We'd all like to, you know, make relationships and just keep coming back to the same people day in, day out. And look, Andrew Burnett did nothing wrong. Like, he did really well under, as you guys said, very, very tenuous circumstances when he came in to take over the Panthers. But could you improve on that role? Could you get a guy who can come in and make some tactical changes? A guy who could potentially match up better against the likes of a John Cooper or, you know, whomever it is, a tenured, experienced coach that you're probably going to have to go up against at some point if you want to take this group as it is and get to a Stanley Cup. You'd be foolish if you didn't look around and see if a Barry Trotz had interest, or a Peter DeBoer, or whomever it might be, a Paul Maurice for another candidate. If you deem him to be better than what you saw at Andrew Brunette this year. So that's how I sort of see it, because I think Florida needs to get dramatically better in terms of their ability to defend. And then you have to ask yourself, can Andrew Brunette drive that home? Was he trying to drive that home? Was that the message he was delivering, or was he content with the way they were playing? Like, that's the type of stuff that internally they have to get to the bottom of. And then, you know, if the answer is yes, he was driving that message home, okay, well, that's good. Well, were the players listening to it? Okay, they were maybe it needs a little bit more time. That's what they have to decide internally. But, you know, in saying all that, whoever their head coach is, if they think they can play like that and win a Stanley Cup, they are sorely mistaken.
Dave, I just checked Florida Panthers Twitter, by the way, and Panthers fans are mad online at Dave McCarthy.
I bet they are, because, look, everybody loves winning 6-5. It's fun and entertaining, and, oh, boy, wasn't that great when we left the rink in our flip-flops in February. That was a great time. I'm sure it was, but you're not going to win that way. It's just the fact of the matter.
Saying Dave McCarthy bringing the heat. He's with NHL.com and SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Dave, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We'll let you get back on safari based on the background and everything else. Enjoy the Panama hats, and we'll do it again real soon.
Okay, thanks, fellas. Appreciate you having me.
Cheers, okay, Dave.
Take care, Dave. Thanks so much. Dave McCarthy joining us on the program. A fun Saturday morning here on the show, gentlemen. That has
Drew, that's a fine. I mean, I know. Having your mic muted. Cord.
Yeah, and
that
Drew was muted for a good like 10 seconds there, yeah. Dave. And
I was just muted going too. I was muted too, because that's just what we do when someone else is speaking. But
yeah,
I mean,
I just hope that Drew wasn't insulting Dave McCarthy.
I wasn't. I was, you know what? I normally am better than that. I apologize. I will pay the kangaroo court. That is a legal curve.
Just apologize to the people in the chat, Drew.
I apologize.
They deserve better. Yeah. They spent their they woke up. They got their Saturday morning started with us. They deserve better.
Say sorry, Frank.
Exactly.
Yeah, sorry, Frank. Anyways, okay, I apologize for that. Hell of a show, though, this morning, guys. Lot of great conversation, couple great interviews, breaking news on the Jets signing that Dave M was breaking. Did you find out anything?
I think it's breaking to some people there, too. So I'm still trying to get some insight into Mr. Billick. We'll find out. But you know, I like the suggestion from Roland. He said, was really hoping Trotz Watch would happen during this pod. Maybe just keep it going until.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we can keep it going till July 1st, but we plan on doing shows until July 1st. So we'll be good in that regard, Roland. You can just keep tuning back to illegalcurve.com.
Aren't we doing shows until July 31st? What happened to the month of July?
We are, of course, but I'm saying that you know that we'll at least be doing shows until July 1st.
And I was going to say, boys, like, you know, go back to February 2021. I mean, when we were on air talking to Sarah Orleski, and then we had Dregs on after that. And we obviously had the breaking Patrick Laine, Jack Roslovic for Pierre-Luc Dubois trade. I think we're good for 2 or 3 years. I mean, you know, he'll make his announcement when he makes his announcement. Let's not get greedy.
No, we need it on a Saturday morning. It's the
Laine one. The Laine one was that. Look, the Laine one was amazing. I mean, that couldn't have been any better.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what more could we ask for?
No,
I mean,
we're talking to
Sarah, and then literally, I think it was even during the commercial break or right when we came back. And then Drew broke the news. I mean, that was incredible. It goes back to what we said before. Barry's going to make his decision. Nobody has any clue when that decision is going to happen, or, you know, who he's going to choose. But it's going to happen soon. So everybody, you know, just like Guns N' Roses said, have a little patience.
Oh, well done there, Ezzy. And of course, we'll have all the latest news as Dave M is constantly updating the website, illegalcurve.com.
Trying to figure out everything I know about Colin Billick right as we speak.
There you go. You'll have a breaking news post about that. You can also be sure to follow us on Twitter at illegalcurve. And if you haven't already done so this morning, not sure what you've been waiting for, smash that like button. You know how to do it. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already done that.
Make sure you're subscribed. Sorry, Drew, just a quick aside. Most of you are subscribed. That's actually... it's funny. I watch a lot of YouTube shows, and a lot of people are always complaining. Oh, and a lot of you watch, but not enough of you subscribe. Well, I will say I appreciate that most people subscribe to our channel, but that number can always be higher. So if you have a YouTube channel or account, or even if you don't, get one. You don't have to comment in the chat, although we love it because I love how it goes on without regards of what we're talking about. Us three baboons. But the reality is, if you can, make sure you're subscribing and get.
You can't beat the price, right? And we've already offered Barry a lifetime subscription to Illegal Curve, right? So everybody else gets the subscription for life as well. So how can you beat that?
Exact Amando. So, Quitland, by the way, last thing for me, another shout out, birthday shout out to my niece, Riley.
There you go. Well,
happy birthday, Riley.
You did that earlier, though.
I know, but I said another one.
Oh, another for two.
When you're the favorite uncle, you got to maintain that by doing things in an extraordinary way.
And Dave, I don't want to one up you here, but happy Father's Day to Sheldon, Gary, and John, best fathers out there.
There you go. Well said. Those will be our respective fathers. Happy Father's Day to all the dads who are out there doing duties, and happy Father's Day, of course, as well to the mums who are doing double duty as both mum and dad in your respective family, whatever.
Well, the mums, I mean, we know the mums are better, and they're the ones that, I mean, deserve all the accolades. That's why the dads get one day. 364 days a year are for the mums.
Yeah, did I just hear a woot from one of the mums in the background there, Ginsburg? Is that what I heard?
That was Naomi.
Okay,
she's heading down to the dock. We're gonna maybe jump in the water a little bit here.
That's the best part. She wasn't even wooting the comment. She was just wooting because she's like, it's 11 o'clock. The show should be over. Let's get in the water.
She wants me to be there with the kids because I'm sure Ruben is probably walked into some dog poop or something out there. I don't know what's going on.
She's cheering you getting back to being a father as opposed to spending time with us. That's what that woot was about. Want to say a big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make this show, who make the post-game show during the season, and who make the website a possibility. Our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, TJ Miller, just announced JT Miller, not the Canucks player.
It's funny.
TJ Miller.
It's funny, Drew. Our buddy Rocky was asking me about if I had tickets to TJ Miller, and I'm just like, hold on. We might be sponsored by Rumor, Rocky, but you got to get your own tickets here. So I think if that hasn't sold out, it's going to sell out quickly.
It will sell out quickly. Get your tickets, rumorscomedyclub.com. Get them because they will go quickly, like you said. Linden Market Dental Center, Zapia Group Realty, Betway. Dave, are you wearing anything else Betway right now? There you go. No, he's wearing the Illegal Curve shirt. Okay, but Dave, you saw Dave wearing the Betway gear earlier.
At the end of the day, boys, I'm always Illegal Curve all the time, you know? Like,
please wear responsibly.
Bernstein's Deli, they're closed for renovation, so be sure to keep it tuned to their social media and our social media. We'll let you know when they reopen. Our friends at Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. We'll be back next Saturday. If news breaks between now and then, we might be back on this YouTube channel before then. But of course, illegalcurve.com is always your home for the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose and anything NHL related and Winnipeg Jets related. Keep it locked to illegalcurve.com. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us some comments, and tell your friends, tell your family. The best place to be every Saturday morning is the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Big thanks to Kenny Weeb in Denver. Big thanks to Dave McCarthy. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsburg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.